All right, let's get back into our Canucks conversations with our next guest. He is a play-by-play man of Canucks hockey here on Sportsnet 650. Brennan Batchelor joins us. Thanks for this batch, though I do want to start elsewhere because I'm very upset at your Manchester United today as they are suing my favorite video game of all time, Football Manager.
Okay, so I hadn't heard this news, so bring me up to date, because I heard you tease it before the break, but I don't know exactly what's happening. Why are they suing them?
Basically, the reasoning being that they use Manchester United in a way in the game that Manchester United is not happy with, because the symbol, the team crest, isn't accompanied next to Manchester United, so they think it does their brand a disservice, even though that's the way that it's been since the game originated in 1992.
Yeah, because the Premier League has never been officially on board with that game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Like, correct.
You know, we talked about this in the past because I play that game. I know you guys have played that game in the past where, like, the Bundesliga is officially a part of Football Manager and all the logos and imaging and everything is a part of the game, but the Premier League isn't. So not great news to hear because I love that game and I love Manchester United, but I guess from a business sense, they're trying to get their money's worth, and it'll be interesting to see exactly how that plays out.
Yeah, that's Arsenal fan take on this. Is Manchester United is greedy, and that's what we're going to go with.
You can spin it however you want.
Maybe get some wins, Manchester United. Then you won't have to worry about mounting debt that's on your bill right now. Just throwing that out there.
You know, I should bring up as well that it was 12 years ago to the day yesterday that John Terry slipped in the rain in Moscow. So that was a great memory that I was reminded of yesterday. And, you know, you guys can come back and have a conversation when your clubs are in contention for Champions League glory.
All right. I got nothing there because, yeah.
Hey, my team has lost the most finals in history. So, yeah.
At least you got there, I guess, right?
Touche, yes. Bachelor, touche.
All right. Now that we've alienated enough of listeners here with all of our soccer talk on Reach Deep, let's bring it back to hockey. All right. So we've got a 2014 playoff, and there's a lot of discussion, at least on our text line, about the matchup with the Minnesota Wilds. Canucks fans seem to be pretty confident. I'm not so sure that they should be overly confident about that potential matchup, Batch.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle on this one, and I did a little bit of digging on some of the statistics for these teams this season, as I knew I was coming on with you guys this afternoon. But at the same time, as much as we can lean on what's happened in the past and statistics to try and break this down, it's also completely unprecedented. Most of these players have not had this much time off the ice since they were children. So, you know, for us to be able to predict how each team is going to be able to respond to a scenario like this is, you know, it's impossible for lack of a better term. But the things we can look at, the Canucks are a younger team. You think that might help their players get back up to speed quicker. At the same time, you could argue that because the Wild have had so much time to rest, the age disparity doesn't play a factor. You look at, you know, how these clubs had both done since around New Year's. Minnesota had a 607 points percentage. The Canucks had a 552. That's relatively close. You know, the Canucks power play was one of the top power plays in the league this season. Minnesota had one of the top power plays in the league since the new year. Neither of them are very physical teams. The Canucks would certainly have the edge in goaltending. So as much as some people might look at where things sat in the standings and say, oh, you know, this should be an easy win for the Canucks, I'm not so sure. There are some guys with a lot of playoff experience on that Minnesota Wild club, and it would be a good test for the Canucks whether they win it or lose it. And you know, we've talked so much about what young players might have missed out on from not getting an experience down the stretch run with, you know, the whole situation with the season being shut down and not getting that playoff like experience. Well, a 5-game series against the Minnesota Wild, win or lose, is going to get you some of that key experience that you hope your young players can carry forward.
Absolutely. And you talk about, you know, the Vancouver Canucks and the confidence component is so large with this team, because this past year, when they look good, they look like world beaters. They look like they could beat anybody, and they did. But when they look bad, they look like they could lose to anybody in the league as well. And a lot of that pressure, depending on how they come back, is gonna rest on the shoulders, you would assume, of Jacob Markstrom. But there's some questions there as well, because we haven't seen him in a while. He hasn't hit the ice very often. You know, most series come down to the play of the goaltenders, but it's weird that he could be the MVP of the team, but still, there's a pretty big question mark of what kind of Jacob Markstrom we see when he does eventually come back.
Well, and that really is likely to be the deciding factor in any playoff series the Canucks are in, whether it's against the Minnesota Wild or, you know, if they win and go beyond that. Because, you know, you can look at the underlying numbers this year and you don't have to dig too far into analytics. You just have to look at basic stats. The Canucks averaged the fourth most shots against in the league up until the season pause. So, you know, you look at that and you look at the fact that they're giving up, you know, 33 or so shots per game on average. And you look at the goaltender and he is not the sole reason, but the biggest reason that they were in a position to be contending for the playoffs. So, you know, yes, the Canucks young players will have to come in and score goals and be effective. And they could certainly be bolstered by injury returns, whether it's Josh Levo, whether Michael Ferland's able to play, Jacob Markstrom will be back. Chris Tanev, you imagine, will be back as well. But when it comes down to it, I firmly believe that with where the Canucks are right now, and they've certainly taken steps in the right direction, they're only going to go as far as Jacob Markstrom allows them to go. And so he will really be the key to everything for this Vancouver team, assuming they get games back underway here at some point in the next few months.
How do you feel about this format?
I like it. I understand you can, you know, nitpick around the edges, and is it perfect? No. Would it, you know, be better if teams like Montreal and Chicago were not in this play-in scenario, because frankly they probably don't deserve to be? Yeah, that would be better, but at the same time, just give us hockey. Like, it doesn't matter to me that it's not perfect. You know, these five game series play-ins kind of make sense to me, that you know, teams that theoretically for the most part would have still had a chance to make the playoffs have a chance to earn their way into the final 16 by winning one of these series. And then after that, you know what, you got 16 teams left, you're battling for the Stanley Cup. It's not very different than what we would normally see beyond the sort of five game series play in that we expect to see here coming up shortly. So it's not perfect, but of all the proposals I had heard about return to play, this is the one I liked the most. And you can also understand it from a revenue perspective as well, that the NHL would want something where markets like Montreal and Chicago are still included in a return to play scenario, so that TV ratings from those markets play a factor.
And you could totally, you know, see the commercial appeal as well, because I know the NHL has been trying to push the bracket challenge the last couple of years, but this year has the legit feel of a NCAA type of bracket to it, where you can create some buzz, you can create maybe the casual fan getting interested, because there's not any sports going on. So really, you know, the randomness of it, the parody aspect of it, I know a lot of maybe hockey purists are saying, wait a second, this kind of throws the 82-game schedule, or the 70-game schedule in this case, out the window to a relative you know, point. But at the same time, you have a chance to sell the game when it desperately needs some selling right now.
Yeah, and from that side of it, it makes sense. If you're a hockey purist, you may not love it, but I would rather have a setup like this that isn't perfect than have no hockey at all. So I'm not going to complain that it's a 24-team playoff. Personally, I just want the puck to be dropped and us to get back to doing what we do best, which is analyzing the action as it's happening and ongoing.
Brendan Batchelor, our guest, Canucks play-by-play man. Tyler Toffoli was on the station yesterday. We debated it a little bit earlier in the show, but as far as like priorities for the Canucks in the offseason, of the three main unrestricted free agents, Toffoli, Markstrom, and Tanev, who is top of the list for you?
It's absolutely Markstrom. And, you know, I can't really see how you would argue otherwise. I understand that, you know, Toffoli's a player that they gave up assets to bring in, and so there's maybe a little bit more pressure there for them to make sure that, you know, they don't give up all those assets for, you know, what was it, a dozen games, and then maybe, you know, a 5-game play-in series, and maybe one or two rounds beyond that at best. So there is some pressure there, but you know, as we talked about already, Jacob Markstrom has been the biggest factor in this team being on the playoff bubble this year. He'll be the biggest factor in how far they go in this return to play scenario, and he is absolutely critical for them, at least for the next couple of years. You expect that Thatcher Demko could come in and become a National Hockey League starter relatively soon, but being in this window right now where Pettersson and Hughes are still on their entry-level contracts, it feels to me like you have to make sure you give yourself a chance to at least be in the playoffs for the next couple of years, if not try to move much closer towards being a legitimate contender. And for my money, if you don't have Jacob Markstrom, then you're not giving yourself the best chance to do that.
See, and I totally understand that. I think my bigger concern in the overall, in the long term, is just how do the Canucks become a team that relies less on goaltending? Like, you want the great goaltender. You also don't want to have to rely on him as much as the Canucks have on Markstrom. And I think to a certain extent, a player like Toffoli does that. They need to deepen out their forward group and, you know, probably do the same on the back end as well. But until they can do that, I guess, you know, the default is Markstrom's probably your best way forward.
Yeah, and you know, if we're talking about things they need to accomplish in the offseason as opposed to just narrowing it down to those three players, I do think that they need to try to make more upgrades to the blue line, whether it is, you know, bringing Chris Tanev back in, or whether they, you know, go out on the trade market or in free agency and try to bolster the back end a little bit more. That's important just because of that factor that you're right. You know, you still need a good goaltender, and Jacob Markstrom will still need to be a key part of this team for the next few years. Or if that doesn't work out, they need to find another legitimate starting goaltender in the NHL. But, you know, the blue line is the area for me where there's still work to be done. Yes, they've taken big strides in the short term and the long term. Short term, Tyler Myers is a free agent signing. Long term, Quinn Hughes is a draft pick that, you know, has come in and already proved he's, you know, their best defenseman for my money. So they've made strides in that regard, but the defense and the blue line to me is the area they need to improve the most going forward in order to give themselves a chance to progress. Because if you look at their top six, for the most part, yeah, you could always, you know, tweak around the edges and bring in better players, but you know, Toffoli's there now, assuming that you are able to re-sign him. You've got Pettersson, you've got Besser, you've got Miller, you've got Horvat. These are guys that are legitimate top six forwards and are rounding out your top six well. It doesn't seem like the bottom six is going to be something you're going to be able to tweak too much because of some of the contracts they've committed there, but there are still battles for positioning. Whether it's, you know, where does Jake Virtanen fit in? What about Tyler Motte, Josh Levo, if he's able to return, how does that impact the rest of the roster? So the forward group is as deep as it's been in a while for my money, but it's that blue line that they're going to have to try and upgrade going forward.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Brendan Batchelor, Canucks play-by-play man here at Sportsnet 650. Batch, you talked about the defense, and I specifically look at that right-sided defense where you have Stetcher, he's got to get paid, and then Chris Tanev is a UFA. You're like, how do you add to that or bring some of those guys back? It's unlikely that both of those guys can be back unless, you know, Jim Benning really does some cap gymnastics, and Louis Erickson's got to feature prominently anything of that nature. But looking at, you know, behind Tyler Myers on that right side, is that the most important area that they need to address in the offseason?
Yeah, I think so, because at least in the short term, you know, Edler and Hughes are locking down your top four spots on the left side. And then, you know, Jordy Benn, Oscar Fantenberg, whoever you want, they can slot in on that third pairing. And that's less critical because those guys get much less ice time. But to find another top caliber, I guess would be the way to describe it, right shot defenseman. And it seems like that's what every team is looking for right now. But whether they can do that through trade, whether they can do that through the draft, depending on what happens with their first round pick and where that slots in, to me, that you're right, Randeep. That's a critical area that they're going to have to upgrade, is that right side of the blue line, because I don't expect both Chris Tanev and Troy Stetcher to be back. And even if they are, at Chris Tanev's age and his point in his career, you know, he's been a great warrior for this team, you know, one of the most underrated defensive defensemen in the league, but he's not going to be that guy forever. And in fact, we've seen his play take a dip over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, there needs to be a contingency plan. Even if you're bringing those guys back, you have to be looking to the future and figuring out who's going to play in those positions when those guys, particularly Tanev and then likely Stetcher as well, just because, you know, he'd like more ice time and they may not want to spend the cap money on him. There are going to be holes that are going to have to fill on that right side on the blue line.
He is Brendan Batchelor. I got chirped earlier in the show. Basically, Jeff Merrick said I had no self-respect because I have been growing out my beard.
Well, I chopped mine off last week. I don't know if you guys realize that. Yeah.
There you go.
So I grew it out for about 9 weeks, and it was getting pretty long and pretty gnarly, too, because I wasn't confident enough to clean it up and trim it around the edges without totally ruining it. But decided that it was just getting a little bit too uncomfortable, so chopped it off about a week ago and have started the growth process again from square one.
I am now a man on an island. We are all very disappointed in you, Batch.
But not me.
Sorry. It had to be done.
Not me. You've crossed over to the cool side. This is Reach is the only guy that looks like he lives in the forest by himself now.
myself and Elliot Friedman. Okay, so we're okay. Are you going to be watching Davies tomorrow on Sportsnet? 12 actually a 9:30 kickoff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I watched the Hertha Berlin match earlier today as well. So it's been nice to have some live sports to be able to dive back into and follow something that's actually happening rather than something that has already happened.
Absolutely. Batch, we appreciate the time, man. We'll be talking.
Yep. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.